1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
In the wake of Hurricane Ian, that where many people in the state of Florida experienced massive amounts of damage, some of them having their entire home destroyed, even many times not even pieces of it, just pieces of it left. We have seen a cry and a call for government intervention and a state of emergency and the federal government to come in with federal funds to help Floridians pay. And in light of this, we need to realize that, first of all, the Bible speaks to every area of life, including government. God created government. God, as the creator of government, God authorizes governments to do certain things and withholds authorization from them to do other things. And so we're actually looking from the Bible and looking at the Bible, applying biblical principles to the question, what role should the government play in natural disasters? And this certainly doesn't mean that the people that have experienced losses don't have a need for recovery. Certainly they do have a need for recovery. The question is, though, should the government be the one that is the provider of that? And what we see happening, and we'll go into this more in a future sermon, but really what you see in the Bible is you see many times God bringing natural disasters. And some people, some people call storms acts of God, and others say, well, God is not the one that does these types of things. But if you look at the Bible, God is the one that does things like that very often. And in fact, if you look and you also see in the Bible that nature itself will lash out to put down and to destroy those who are wicked and those who are violating God's commandments. And you see this in Canaan when the Israelites were coming into Canaan land. You see God warning them to not commit certain acts because the people of that land had committed those acts. And he said, creation was actually rising up and was driving the people out and vomiting them forth, it says, even that the land was vomiting the people forth, and that if they committed those same sins, the land would vomit them forth as well. That's in Leviticus chapters 18 and 20. Read that, and I think you'll see that most of the sins that God laid out in those two chapters, we in America are committing. Certainly not everyone is committing those sins, but what are those sins? Well, they're incestuous relationships, they're adultery, they're homosexuality, bestiality, child sacrifice, giving your sons and your daughters up to demons. Certainly, people don't always consciously do this, but this is really what is happening in abortion. And we have sexual promiscuity happening in this nation. And what happens is God brings, and sometimes even the land itself, because of the standards and the laws that God has put into action, that creation itself rebels against wickedness, and creation itself expels or vomits out a nation. And the purpose of this is to, one, bring God's judgment upon that people so that hopefully that people would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, and so that God could hear from heaven, could forgive our sins and heal our land. But what you see happening is when you see government intervention, is you actually see people turning to the government for help, and there's really isn't much of a focus on repenting, on turning from your wicked ways, on keeping God's commandments and repenting of your sins. Last week we talked about, first of all, what God says about and what God warned the children of Israel about when they were actually asking for a king. And God says to Samuel, well, warn them about how the king is going to act. And he says that, you know, first of all, that the king is going to take the best of their sons and put them into his army. Of course, the people wanted a king to fight their battles for them. He also says that he's going to take your daughters and make them perfumers and bakers, and he's going to put them into service. He's going to take the best of your land. Part of the land of the country would actually be used for the furtherance of the king's house. So you see a bureaucracy. You see the king and his family being supported, and also his servants and those who are serving in his household and are serving in the government being supported by a portion of the prosperity or a portion of the production of the land. You see also God defining tyranny at 10%, that you actually, and this is in from 1 Samuel chapter 8, by the way. You see that God is defining tyranny as 10% taxation. You see, any government that requires as much of its citizens as God requires, and God does require a tenth, we are to bring a tenth of all that God has blessed us with. And we see here that God is defining tyranny as 10% taxation. Yet even at the founding of this country, we've read this from Poor Richard's Almanac, that it would be a hard government that would require 10%, one-tenth part of someone's income. And so at the founding era, it was considered absurd that the government would actually require 10% of your income. And yet we've grown in this country to where much more is being used. In fact, I was talking to a customer who had heard my sermon on the constitutional amendments. And by the way, you can go to floridavotesvalues.com and you can see that sermon. You can also go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle. You can watch that sermon, but also at floridavotesvalues.com, we do have voter guides for St. Lucie County, for some other counties in the listening area. And we have voter guide links for state and federal races, as well as we have a constitutional amendment voter guide, the judicial voter guide. So check that out. But I was talking to someone about this, about that sermon, and he was talking about when he moved in to the state from another state and had to register his vehicle. Boy, they really get you. Why? Because they know you can't vote them out of office. You might register to vote, but you haven't been able to vote in the past, and that tax is only applicable to a small portion of the society. So they know, hey, let's stick it to this guy. Let's stick it to this woman because, it's just going to be they can't vote yet. And in the next election, they might forget about this, or they might not remember that we're the ones responsible. Or even if they do and they want to vote us out of office, there's only a small portion of the population that this tax applies to. So you do see huge amounts of tax. And we talked about all the different types of taxes and the ways that we pay taxes. Just look at your tax bills. Look at your cell phone bill. Look at your power bill. Look at your cable TV bill. You're going to see taxes on there, taxes upon taxes upon taxes there. Even when you go to the store and you buy food, that business is paying taxes. And so part of the amount that you're paying goes into that tax. And so, but really what we see here, we see this 10% taxation, but we see the types of activities that God is authorizing here. You don't see God saying he's going to take money from everyone in the country and give it to some people who have a natural disaster. That's not something that you'll see authorized in the Bible. You won't see it in the Old Testament, and you won't see it in the New Testament. Time and time again, when there was a natural disaster, you see sometimes even collections in the New Testament being taken up for raising money to help out someone or a group of people who were in need. But you will not see a call for the government to be involved. And we'll talk more about that in future sermons. But you see here a limitation of the money that is actually being raised, and a limitation of that of the services being provided. Later on, and you do see some examples of some other services being provided by the government in the Old Testament, in namely some of the building of roads and also public utilities. You see in the time of Hezekiah that Hezekiah in Israel was actually in a desert, and so water was actually a scarcity and was difficult to come by from time to time. So Hezekiah actually built an aqueduct that brought water into the city of Jerusalem. And you see certain things like that being done. But you really won't see God authorizing social welfare programs. That doesn't mean that the poor shouldn't, that God doesn't care about the poor. God certainly does care about the poor. And you can read about in the Bible what God says to do about the poor. And so the Bible really doesn't authorize the government collecting taxes, or it really in most cases, because the government is actually spending more than they're receiving in taxes. So really not only are they raising taxes for this, but they're also borrowing to give money, your money, away. And even if you're the recipient of this, it doesn't make it right. We need to follow biblical principles. Now, let's look real quick at the Bible, and not just the Bible, but also the U.S. Constitution, because the U.S. Constitution specifically states what the federal government can do. And our founding fathers believed, and they drew the principle of limited government from the Bible. Specifically from Exodus chapter 18, they got the idea of local, state, and federal government as Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, instructed Moses to appoint leaders over tens, over fifties, over hundreds, over thousands, whoever, and those leaders would take care of the issue that they could take. The leaders of the ten would take care of whatever they could take. Anything that was too big for them would go up to the next leader, and the leader, anything that was too big for the next leader would go to the next highest leader, and only the highest things would come to Moses. And really, the founding fathers said, hey, this is a great thing. Let's have local government. First of all, self-government. People can take care of whatever they can do themselves. Family government, so the family can take care of what individuals can't take care of. And then you have private charity. And private charity can help out where families can't help out, and where someone really, you know, maybe a father gets in an accident and that family needs some help, well, there can be donations that are taken to help out that person. And then you have the next step is the church helping out. And then what you have in addition to that is you actually have only the cases where those other lower places couldn't handle. You have the local government, the state government, and the federal government, you know, and then even then you don't have welfare happening. You don't have the government collecting taxes to give money, take money from some people to give it to other people. In the 10th Amendment, we actually read the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So you see here that the U.S. government is only supposed to do what the Constitution says that they are to do. And I can tell you this. If you read the Constitution, I would encourage you to read the Bible, definitely. If you don't read anything else, read the Bible. But I would also encourage you to read the Constitution. Read the U.S. Constitution, read the Florida Constitution. See whether what the federal government is doing is authorized in the U.S. Constitution. And I will state this to you today, and I would ask you, prove me wrong. If you think I'm wrong, read the Constitution and see where I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm wrong. Go to our church website and send us a note. Let me know where I'm wrong in this. Most of the functions that the federal government currently participates in are not authorized by the U.S. Constitution. The federal government is operating in the excess of their constitutional authority in most things, and the people have let it happen, and the courts have let it happen. And we need to actually restrain government. We need to rise up, because they're not going to give up their power on their own. We need to restrain them at the ballot box and let our voices be heard. And really, we need to call for a limited government. Now, there is something in the Constitution, in the U.S. Constitution, called the General Welfare Clause. And many have taken and said, well, this General Welfare Clause, it actually does mean that you can actually have a with this General Welfare Clause, they're actually saying, well, you actually can have the government collecting money and giving it to people for the general welfare. And I'm going to read the two places in the Constitution where general welfare is used. One is in the preamble. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, there's that word, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. And then in Section 8, we read, the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposed, and excises, to pay the debts, and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties and imposts and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. So they were to have, they could collect taxes, and one of the reasons they could collect taxes was for the general welfare. Now, there are some that say, well, there's the clause, and this clause has been really used to justify a lot of the things that the federal government is doing. But listen to this. The author of the U.S. Constitution, James Madison, on the General Welfare Clause, he said this: if Congress shall employ money indefinitely to the general welfare, and are the sole and supreme judges of the general welfare. They may take the care of religion into their own hands. They may appoint teachers in every state, county, and parish, and pay them out of the public treasury. They may take into their own hands the education of children, establishing in like manner schools throughout the Union. They may assume the provision of the poor. They may undertake the regulation of all roads other than postal roads. In short, everything from the highest object of state legislature down to the most minute objects of police would be thrown under the power of Congress. Were the power of Congress to be established, or were the power of Congress to be established in the latitude contended for, it would subvert the very foundations and transmute the very nature of a limited government established by the people of America. So you see that when you look at what the founders said about general welfare, they did warn that this could be used. And really, it's almost like James Madison was looking forward into the future. And if you could say that he was a prophet, you would have to say that, wow, what he warned against has really happened. Congress has used this general welfare clause, and the courts have allowed things because of the general welfare clause, and people have justified all kinds of things, and really everything that he warned against the federal government being involved in, that the Constitution clearly does not authorize, the federal government is involved in. And it doesn't stop there. The federal government is in so many other ways. But really, when we look at the Bible, you're not going to see the God authorizing the government to be involved in taking money from certain people and giving it to other people, even if there's a natural disaster. Now, there is only one, and there is one, but only one, example in the Bible of a socialist program that was implemented, that was authorized by God, and was used to save not only the nation of Israel, but really many people in the world. And that was when there was the famine in the land of Egypt that also affected the surrounding areas, including Canaan land, where the children of Israel were. And you can read about this in Genesis chapter 47. Pharaoh had his dream. He dreamed that there were seven fat cows that were swallowed up by seven skinny cows, and all of his magicians and those that he had called weren't able to explain this dream to him. But Joseph was who was in prison. You see, God had sent him to the nation of Egypt. He was sold as a slave. He was falsely accused of a crime he didn't commit. He was thrown into prison. And rather than being down in the dumps and being, you know, saying, woe is me, he was serving God. He was being faithful, and God was prospering him even while he was in prison. And then he was able to interpret this dream to Pharaoh. And he was then able to, Pharaoh proposed a program, and Pharaoh appointed him. So you see really what that program was, with this, that Pharaoh would take a tax of all the grain for the 7 years and store these up into storehouses. And then at the end of that 7 years, that grain would be used to keep people alive. And what you see is at the beginning of this, by the way, this is, again, the only instance of a socialistic program authorized by God, run at the government level, run by the wisest person that was alive at that time, a godly person. It did save many people's lives, but what you'll see is that the Egyptians gave the grain to Pharaoh during the seven good years. They then had to come and buy the grain from Pharaoh during the seven lean years until their money ran out. When their money ran out, they came and they gave Pharaoh their cattle. When their cattle ran out, they came and they said to Joseph, "We can't hide the fact that we have no money, we have no cattle, but we're still hungry and we need food." So they then sold their land. They gave their land to Pharaoh. And from that time forward, Joseph actually moved them into cities. They still tilled their land, but they had to give 20% of their income, of the produce of that land, had to go toward actually one-fifth had to go toward to Pharaoh from there on out. And they said, "We will be Pharaoh's servants, for you have saved our lives." And so four-fifths would be their own, one-fifth would go to Pharaoh, and they said, "You have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." So the only socialistic program ever authorized in the Bible was run by the wisest man that was alive at that time, a godly man, and still resulted in the enslavement of an entire nation, a nation that started out as free. They started out owning having their money, having their cattle, having their land, and ended up not owning not having money, not having their cattle, and not having their land. And really, you're not going to see any other time in the history of the Bible, in what we see in the Bible, where God authorizes government to take money from some and to give it to others. And really, this isn't even that type of thing. It's not even taking money from some and giving it to others. Everyone was giving the money or giving the grain to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was then giving that grain back out through Joseph, was giving that grain back out, or actually selling it to the people. And that was to everyone, not just to a select few. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and one desire, just to know you.